What a perfect way to start the service this morning. I tell you, I've enjoyed being here already and the singing and just what's been said, just feeling the Lord's Spirit. I couldn't be more thankful. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about this week. And the topic and thought of teaching has kind of been on my heart a lot this week. And just different things is going on, just even outside of church, just even with the Board of Education. We had graduation on Friday night, and it was a blessing to see that. I've enjoyed that and being on the board and what have you. But what's kind of interesting, when I realized that being 2024, I graduated in 1994, so to watch them say their speeches, that's 30 years ago. And I was like, my goodness, I was there, Brother Tim, 30 years ago. It doesn't really feel like that. You know, it doesn't feel that way to me. And listening to, I think it was like over $8 million worth of scholarships that these students have earned. I mean, they've accomplished a lot of things, and I'm thankful for them and what they've been able to do. And it made me think about myself 30 years ago at that time. The world just seemed like it was all brand new and just getting ready to start and just step out and see where the Lord is going to lead or what was going to happen, you know, that kind of thing. And the way it's kind of set up in my family was very blessed. My grandparents and family members, the way it was, they set a little money aside for each of the grandkids. And the one thing that we were told is that is for college or that's for a house. That's the only two things you can spend it on. Tried to get a motorcycle at one time, but my grandma and my mom shut that down. I was like, come on, you know, I can really, it's a way of transportation. No, they shot that down pretty quick, and that wasn't going to work. So with me and the way I was set up, and, you know, I thought that I was set up for college and what have you, in my mind, not knowing what it took to actually be set up academically to do that, and GPA and just all that, the courses and all that. I really wasn't set up for that myself. But then the way it was set up for me was I thought, well, I will take the money. I'll use that to start a home, and I'll start out that way and seek out a career and seek out what the Lord would have for me there. But I wanted to share this with you. One thing that I remember so real in my life at that time was I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please, please, please let me continue to learn. I don't ever want to stop learning. I don't ever stop growing. And in church, I'll tell you, it's amazing just seeing things this morning. I'll be honest, it's hard not to get a little emotional about it, but thinking about the blessed career, I was thankful for the career that I had in law enforcement and being able to train and do things like that, experience things and see things. But when you look back on God and how He can do things in your life, you know, this is what He placed in front of me as my lifelong book to study from. You talk about answered prayer, Brother Tony. That's real. You see, I was looking at it this week and thinking about it a lot, about education, and thinking a lot about the most valuable thing that I could teach or we could do with Vacation Bible School coming up this week. But if you think about God and how He wants us to be, He wants us to be a certain way for Him. As been said many times this morning, He is a God of order. He has a way that He wants things to be carried out and the way He wants things to be done. I think about it like this. Once becoming His son, once becoming His daughter, once being adopted into the family of God, He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to take on His traits. And one of the things that I appreciate very much, I thought about that this week a couple of times, is when somebody is talking about Josh and they say, boy, you can't deny him. Boy, he's just like you. They call him little Jason, you know, sometimes like, amen, bless his heart, but amen. They call me my little, they say I'm like my grandfather. But you know, something I thought about this week is how many times have we been referred to as, that's little Jesus right there. He's just like him. He's just like him. Or do we ever get categorized that way? Are we enough like Him to be categorized as He is and the way the Father wants us to be in His life? Well, I tell you, it's something for us to think about. I really want to preach. I say teach, preach on the topic of teaching this morning by way as a encouragement and also as a charge to those that are involved with our Vacation Bible School this year. I never really heard anything preached like that before, and the Lord just kind of laid it on my heart when, you know, when a preacher goes out, they have an ordination service, and there's a charge during that service, and I kind of, in my heart and mind, want to charge you this morning. I want you to be charged and ready to go. It's going to be a full week. I believe the Lord is going to do something amazing this week, and I want to be a part of it. And I know many of you do too, and I'm thankful for that this morning. And I want to share a statistic with you. A lot of times I think that can kind of capture our minds, capture our way of thinking. But I read this in studying yesterday, and it really, really jumped out at me. And I don't know exactly where the statistic came from. I can tell you the website. I can put you back to where who I got it from, but where they got it from, that I don't know. But this is a 2008 statistic, so that's many, many years ago. Imagine what it could be today. But it really captured my mind. It says 95% of people in America who become Christians do so before the age of 25. Think about that. 95% of Americans who become Christians do so before the age of 25. I thought, well, you know, there's many people in our churches, and I used to be the type of person that thought if a person was older and they attend churches, that more than likely, automatically, they're probably have already accepted Christ. But as I've gotten older and more experienced, I realize that's not the case. That's just not how it is. But if that's 95% under the age of 25, what about those older ones that are maybe attend church or don't? What are they? Where are they at? Where's their mind frame at? And the Lord laid this on my heart in this study also, is are people set in His ways or are they set in their own ways? Really, really consider that this morning. It's easy to think that maybe we know a lot of things or what have you, and we maybe have some things figured out, and sometimes get to a place where even if you hear it out of God's Word and say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, we should always be willing to believe what the Word of God says, regardless how old we are, regardless where we are in life. If something is presented to us in God's Word that maybe we hadn't heard before, but it's in His Word, we should not be so set in our ways that we're not willing to adopt His ways. Amen? We should be able to listen and see what He wants us to do. But the Great Commission, I'll start with this and I'll get into it this morning because I do want us to have a special time of prayer for our VBS volunteers after the service. But what I wanted to read here in Matthew chapter number 28, verses 18 through 20, the Great Commission, you've read this here. I'm sure you've heard of this, but it's a commandment that the Lord has sent out to us. And we'll start with this right here. And then we'll go on to Timothy, be going to a few different places. This is at the end of the gospel. You'll see it recorded at the end as the Lord was leaving out, heading back to heaven, and He is placing this. We had some study in Sunday school this morning about how mankind was given dominion over the earth to till it, to tend it, and take care of it. And also we see here how Jesus gives us the authority that we are supposed to take and we are also supposed to teach. We're supposed to be His teachers, teaching the generations to come. And right there, starting with our young people. But Matthew 28 and 18, it says this here. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for my Bible, God, that you've given to me. God, just what it teaches us and how we can learn from it and grow from it and be guided by it, God, and just how you preserved it throughout time, Lord, that we can see it and read it and just experience the power of it, God, if we will adapt it to our lives, apply it to our lives, Lord, and listen to it, adhere to it, God. Lord, I just thank you so much for it. Where would we be without the Word of God this morning, without you and your guiding Holy Spirit? Where would we be as a people, God? I just thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray for our teachers here in the church, Lord, everything that they do from week to week. God, I just thank you so much for them, all the dedication and time of study and prayer that they put into it, Lord. And I pray that this be an encouragement to them. And also, Lord, to every VBS teacher that we have, God, for this week, I just pray that your presence be upon them, Lord, be in each classroom, be in the singing that is done, the teaching, any kind of thing that's said, Lord, in the fellowship hall during craft time or during game time, Lord, just let everything, God, I pray, just be a glory and an honor unto you, Lord. It's to help these young people, and it's to lift your name up and help them to see and understand who you are and why they need to follow you, Lord, the importance of you, God. And I just pray that you be with each of us. Lord, let it be a special blessing. God, just be with every little detail. Lord, I know things come up, and God, I just pray that you be in every detail. God, help us and be with us, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, it's an interesting thing to see here, thinking about the topic of teaching and just what that means. That means to show people and to lead them and to show them how they're supposed to be in things. And boy, I tell you, I think about different teachers in my life and the importance of having that. Where would you be without a teacher? You know, I've heard it said that one of the biggest missions we do out of this church is teaching or vacation Bible school, and I believe that, I do. And you look at the back wall and you see the missionaries that's granted there, but you think about the work that is done week to week out of our church. I think probably one of the number one missions that goes out is teaching weekly. You think about the time that it takes for somebody to prepare and to study. You know, sometimes maybe people put a whole lot of time into it, and sometimes maybe they don't. But the importance of putting time into it. And one thing I really started understanding and started trying to do after becoming a preacher or teacher, I used to be an instructor in law enforcement, but whoever was up here, I tried to give them my undivided attention, no matter how boring or how awesome they were. I just want you to know that I'm being serious. There's been some times that had people in front of me, all I could do was really just pray for them. Lord, help them. Lord, I believe they're trying to do right. Help them. But one thing I wanted them to know, that I was engaged in listening to what they had to say. I think that's important. You know, it's not a time to drift away or what have you, but you know, you have a teacher up there that's really trying and really wanting to do something, pray for them, help them, encourage them, be there for them. And if you think it's easy, amen, hop up here and try it. I'll just say that, amen. I say that lovingly, and I mean that. It's an experience. It's one thing to stand before a group of people and you feel like you kind of have everything wrapped in a package that you can unwrap and give to somebody, but then there's times when you're going through the Bible line by line, verse by verse. Some of this stuff is tricky. Some of it's hard. Some of it you just ain't going to understand. You know, you think about how the Bible is. We'll talk about this in a minute. There is something in here for everybody at every single level. Everybody in here can understand some things out of this book. But you know what's amazing about it too? There's some things in here that nobody in here will understand and fully understand. He's that powerful. His ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts, the Bible says. And so we're not going to fully understand everything. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'll look through a few things, hopefully quickly this morning. I'll try not to be too long. I know we need to get home and get back and get with it this evening, but just wanted to look at a few things, maybe about four topics this morning, four things. And we're going to use the letter C today. And number one, teaching is commanded. Teaching is commanded. We have Brother Jacob here. He's a teacher. He knows how it is to be in front of a classroom. And it's one thing to teach something that you feel like you know, but it'd be very hard to teach somebody something that you don't know. If you don't fully understand it, how are you going to explain it to somebody else? And I'll tell you, the most important thing that we can teach this morning is the Word of God. I want to say this as a sidebar as you're turning there. And again, not against secular education or what have you, against education. There's things that you have to learn, maybe a skill or a trade and how to do. But I want to encourage you to know that this supersedes anything that you can learn out there. I want you to know that. I want you to understand that, because a lot of things that are being taught out there is contrary to what we have in the Word of God. So I want to say it like this. Who all here believes that this is truly the Word of God? Who believes that? Would anything stand above the Word of God? Would anything stand equal to the Word of God? I would say no, right? If that be the case, then should this not be the final authority and the most important thing that we follow? Even if we learn something outside of church or what have you, and learn something, maybe get puffed up and think, hey, boy, I'm smart or whatever. If it contradicts this, you need to unlearn it and you need to stay right here with this. I'm just going to tell you that. That's the conviction that the Lord has given me. And you say, why? Why do you say that? Because it's God's word. His word supersedes everything else that man could come up with. Man comes up with some doozies. Talking about artificial intelligence there in Sunday school a little bit, there's a lot of things going on to take the mindset out of people, and it needs to stay in your mind, in your heart. It needs to stay there. But you see here, teaching is commanded. You and I are supposed to teach our young people. We're supposed to teach our kids. We're supposed to teach those around us. If we don't do it, who is going to teach these things to them? You say, I know we've got some really good teachers out there, but I also know that when you're in public education, it's different. What you offer for one religion, you got to offer for all the religions. It's just wide open in public education. That's why it's important to have a foundation in your church life and in your home life and in your VBS life. I challenge you to bring your kids to school this week. And anybody listening, I've tried to invite as many people as I can. If you want to get a good biblical education this week, this is the place to do it. Amen. I believe that it's commanded here. 2 Timothy 3 verses 10 through 17 says right here, this is protection from apostasy is what Paul is talking about here. And he's actually charging Timothy in part of this here and teaching Timothy as a young preacher. This is the importance. It gives you the problem and then it gives you the answer to the problem. It's to protect people from against this. You say, well, if you didn't have the Bible, then what would be right or wrong? There really wouldn't be a standard, would there? You look at the laws we have in this nation, a great deal of those laws do come from the Ten Commandments or biblical truths. It comes from those things, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, those different things, and those translated into laws. So you see how powerful and important the Word of God is and how we live and the order that we have. If nothing was wrong and everything was okay, then if somebody stole something from you, there'd be no recourse. You see, God gives a recourse. He gives a standard that he wants us to follow. Verse number 10, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He's telling Timothy, it was hard. I faced a lot of things. And Timothy, you know about these things. But the Lord delivered me out of all those things. And it says here again, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see, there's an enmity going on. It's not always going to go the same direction. This world is not going to go in the same direction that the Word of God is, so you can see automatically there are going to be issues. And that's exactly what Paul was plainly telling Timothy. He's teaching him, you're going to have some hardships, but stay with the Word of God. Look at what he says here. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see that today. People having their own way, they're trying to do away with the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there is no standard. There is no right or wrong. It's just do what you want to do. And that's what the world is trying to do. That's what the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist is saying. If it feels good, do it. That's what Satan says. But he's saying here, those people are going to wax worse and worse. But continue thou. Look at what he's teaching. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's saying, remember all those things that your grandmother taught you, your family taught you, those things that he was telling Timothy, those things that I have taught you, remember those things. You see, it's commanded. It's a two-part process. It's commanded. We are to teach those coming on after us and teach them and show them, but they are to listen. We'll see that here in just a minute. But he was commanded to be assured and remember those things and be assured of them. You know, the assurity of this that I've seen comes when people live it out every single day. That's the assurity of it. I can tell you to do something. If you see me do the opposite, you're going to say, why is he not doing what he is saying I'm supposed to be doing? You're going to catch up on that really quick. The power of it is staying with it and staying true to it. And see, that's what Paul was telling Timothy. He was saying that I am staying with it, you stay with it. and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make these wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He's laying it all out here for him and talking about here in this next verse the importance of Scripture, the reason for Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I looked at each one of those things there. For doctrine, that's principles or positions. If you're wondering about a decision that you need to make in life, the Bible will give you the position you're supposed to take on that. It's in there. If there's a decision you have to make and you want to know, is this right? Is this wrong? Am I being unreasonable? Am I being reasonable about this? It'll tell you right here in God's Word how you're supposed to be. Here's the thing. There's going to be things in life that people are going to ask you to do that's contrary to God's Word. You might be afraid about how it's going to be in your job or all this kind of stuff. But I tell you, stay with God's Word. Do what He says. That's the eternal part of things. This is just temporal. You imagine seeing the Lord one day and knowing what the Word of God says and knowing, looking back and say, well, I tried to go along with people not to make them upset with me. And you're facing the Lord one day and said, this is my Word. You had it all right here in front of you. Some of the simplest things. I've taught on things and preached on things that I never thought would even be a topic of conversation. Isn't that something? But it's all laid out here in God's Word and how it's supposed to be. You see here, it's good, it's profitable for doctrine. Also right here, let me get back to it. Let me get back to the right parts here. Where I'm at, 10:17. I'm all over the road this morning. Things which thou hast learned, and coming down here, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That word reproof right there, that means blame expressed to the face. That means it's talking about changing somebody or correcting somebody. That's not always a comfortable thing to do, but that's an important thing to do. I want to say right here, some of the teachers that I learned the most from had control of their class, and their class didn't have control over them. Boy, I thought there's times when we first started out in the class and the teacher pretty much laid down the law right when we got there. I thought, man, it's going to be a long semester. It's not going to be easy. But after I saw that this teacher had control of the class and you could learn and you could listen, what changed things? I was able to take a lot from that and learn from that. Also, it says here, correction. That means to be set right. We have things in our mind that maybe if we're thinking about it and logically we're thinking about things without looking at the Word of God, then maybe we think we have it one way. Well, guess what? If we got it wrong, the Bible will correct it and set it in the right way. That's what correction means. It also means instruction in righteousness. That's teaching to the conformity of the divine law. That is saying, this is how I want you to be. That's the Lord saying, after you accept me, I'm just asking you to live out what I've asked you to do. That's the way Jesus lived, the way the life he lived, the example he set. He's just asking us to follow that example, not out of fear, but out of love, that we want to be like him and do those things that he would have us to do. Let's go to 1 Peter for just a minute. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to hurry along and get through these so we can have our prayer this morning, but I want it to help us. Number one, we see that it's commanded. Teaching, the profits that we get from it, what it's trying to keep us, the mistakes that it's trying to keep us from making. Number one, we see it's commanded. Number two things here I read in this and I'll explain. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3. Talking about spiritual growth or being able to grow. Number two, teaching should be creative and it should be challenging. When I look at that, I love having analogies. I love being able to use a life circumstance or situation, illustration that we can adapt, that we can identify with. You know, Paul did that so many times. And the Lord, you see the parables that you see that was given throughout the Gospels. That is kind of how we learn and how we see things. When you're talking to somebody, trying to explain something to them, it is extremely important that we're able to be on their level. that you're able to get there. Now, I'm not telling you, I don't want you to think that I don't think our teachers can teach. I know you can. I just want to share some things with you that I'm using, that I'm trying to think about. You know, it's one thing to try to teach maybe or talk to a person that's been in church many, many years and heard a lot of preaching, heard a lot of teaching, what have you. And then maybe you have those young people that hadn't really heard a whole lot of those things. You have to be creative. I mean, there's some things you got to think about. How can I make this adapt to them? How can they identify with this and understand this? Look what it says here. In growth, and this is talking here to a young Christian, but it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, it's talking about here as a person what they're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do when we begin to study the Word of God is lay all these things down, empty these things out. If you go into any classroom and you've already got a preconceived notion of how you're going to learn this, or how you're not going to learn this, or how you're not going to listen, you're not going to gain a lot from that subject. If you have a lot of other things on your mind, what you're going to do after class, or if you're thinking about playing video games or whatever your hobbies may be, then you got a lot of stuff in there that's not supposed to be in there. But if you truly want to grow, what you have to do is empty these things out. Get these things out of the way. And that's what he's saying here, to lay these things aside. Place these things aside. And then verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Just to desire it. And this is talking about babes in Christ. You know, that's why I say there is something in here for every person at every age group that you can learn from. There's very simple concepts in the Bible, and there's very, very complex subjects that you'll find in the Bible. But you see how it's saying here, and I see this and is understanding the sincere milk of the Word. I thought about when I was younger some of the things that I learned in Bible school, and I'm still able to remember those things today. I remember reciting verses, going through that, and just the teachers taking the time and being patient with me. And you know, there's a lot of folks maybe that might attend that maybe don't have a background in coming to church. This might be the first time they hear some of these things. Isn't that amazing? You might be able to be the one to present something to somebody that they've never heard before about God. Is that not an amazing thing to think about? That's a blessing. You see these babes here, they're supposed to just kind of take what they can and then they grow from it. You know, I'm going to use Josh as another example here because that's my family, that's my experience, that's what I know. But as he was growing up, when he's just a little baby, we put him on his formula. He had the formula going there, and man, he would tear that up. And it didn't take long. I mean, he would just tear it up. We told the nurses and the doctors, like, this is not enough. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? They said, well, you start putting some cereal in there. And so we had to cut the bottle open just a little bit more and started putting cereal in there, and it had a little bit more nourishment to it. You know, as you study God's Word, it has a way of getting in there. As you start with the milk, it has a way of getting in there that you can take on a little bit more. Isn't that something? You only know how much you can take till you get to a point that you can't take any more. Does that make sense to you? What I mean by that, you don't know how far you can go with something until you fail, until you push it to failure. That's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. It will be with you your entire life. You'll never outlearn it. You'll never outrun it. There's always something there to grow by. As you get to a concept, and there's been times that I've read through something, especially if it's going to be something that we're teaching maybe on a Wednesday night when you're going line by line and verse by verse, you're like, man, I wish I could skip that one because I just don't understand it. You kind of push it to the limit. But you see, the Holy Spirit has a way of teaching you and showing you and guiding you. That's what the Lord has promised for us. If you're willing to get in there, He'll help you get out of it what you need to see. He's always helped me. Now, if I can't deliver it right, that's on me, but He did the right part. I'll say it that way. Maybe it didn't come out of me the right way, but He gave it to me the right way. He's saying to lay these things aside and then to desire those things. I like what verse number 3 says. It says here also, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There's so much to learn out of the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. First 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We'll look at verses 1 through 9 here. Teaching should be carried out in cooperation. That's what's really neat about this, like what you see in a church setting, I guess probably in a school setting also, but the cooperation that is given from it. It's not that you have one person in competition with another or anything like that, as we'll see what was given here in this church, what Paul was protecting this church from. You got to remember again, the Corinthian church, the church of Corinth, was a carnal church, and they kind of, I guess, probably had a little bit too much pride in there and the way they were doing things and the way it was set up. But this is to teach against the stunting of spiritual growth. It's to set things right and remember that, again, the Word of God is the final authority, and that's what this is about. Paul teaching here, and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." This church, the way they were acting, they were babes in Christ, they weren't growing. They were kind of stagnant in where they were at. He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal." See, some of the things that was warned against there in the book of Peter there, and it says, "Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, ye have not carnal and walk as men." He's saying that you're not trying to grow. You're basically looking at bragging rights, if you will, and you're not looking at it in the full manner. And this is what it says here in verse number 4. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" He said, well, this is what Paul says. Well, this is what Apollos says, and they want to debate the Word of God. That's what they are getting into. This might be a little bit out of the scope of what we're talking about for VBS, but I think you'll see how it ties in together. What he was saying is you stay in and you work together in the Word of God. You go to the Word of God and see what it has to say and let it be the final authority. "Who then is Paul and who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave unto every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." You see, it's about working together. It's about helping our students together, those who are in attendance together. And that is exactly what Paul was saying here. It's not about the person, it's about God. It's about how he is the one that is going to make this come together. Verse number 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." He's showing us our placement in his work. I tell you, it's a blessing to be able to come together and teach these kids and be a part of their life. You think about where would you be without the Lord in your life? I know Brother Tim was talking about this older man now, but when he was a young man, got saved at Bible school. Don't you think that was the most important day of his life? Think about how important it was for him to be there. We see the cooperation in this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. I'll be closing here soon. Number one, we've seen its teaching is commanded. Teaching should be creative and challenging. Teaching should be carried out in cooperation. And I want us to see this. Teaching is to be complied with. It's to be listened to. I got a friend. He's pretty creative with words. I got a friend at work. And one of the things that I've heard him say many times to people, he said, "I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you." Thought that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It's a two-part role when you're talking about teaching people and trying to relay something. It's one, the teacher has to be willing to learn and be able to meet the person where they are and to help them. But number two, the listener needs to be paying attention, willing to comply. I think sometimes you look at the breakdown with things, sometimes that's the part where it falls on deaf ears. Again, are we walking in his way or are we walking in our way? Are we too set in our ways to listen? Ephesians 6 and 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's talking about obedience. It's to be complied with. What you're taught, what you hear in church, what you're being taught at home is to be complied with in the Lord is what it says. It goes on to describe that. If you had a mom or dad teach you to do something wrong, then you shouldn't do that is what it's saying. But in the Lord, what is being taught and what is being right in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And honor is to give that revere and that respect that you're going to do what you're being asked to do. A lot of times, I remember when I was a young person, a lot of times I thought it was just being, I was not allowed to do things that my friends were doing or people in school were doing is because mom and dad were squares and didn't want to let me do what I wanted to do. But you know, there's a reason why mom and dad step up, your guardian steps up and says, hey, I'm trying to keep you out of trouble. There's some trouble around the corner. There's some reasons why you should not be doing this. And that's what this is talking about here. It's talking about the right way to teach. I love these verses right here. The children are to obey, they're to listen, and they're to honor their father and their mother, that it may be well with thee, that things may go well in your life, and that you may live as long, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Look at verse number 4. And it calls out the fathers here. Father's Day is coming up pretty soon, but I'll go ahead and use this today. Thought it was really good how this is talking about how we're to be taught at home, how we are to teach at home, my responsibility as a father. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, if you're really trying to teach somebody something, you really have to be patient and get on the level that they're on. That takes a lot. You got somebody that don't want to learn and stubborn, it'd be easy to get ill with that person, try to fight with that person, and then that's just going to break things off. There's not going to be any back and forth dialogue that's going to help there. Not so, to provoke them to anger, to make them rage, but you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to nurture, bring them up in nurture. That's to promote growth, education, and instruction. You know, there's been times, again, Josh, I'm sorry, you're my little man, I got to use you, but there's been times we've had to punt and start all over again. There's been some things. We've talked about things, went through things, and tried to do about it, and maybe just had to take a break from it and come back and pick it up later. But that's what it's talking about here. There's a difference in teaching somebody and helping them to see the reason why behind it versus that you're just forcing them to do it. When they start seeing the need themselves, that's what promotes growth in a person's mind. Also, an admonition, that's the gentle reproof or counseling against the fault. And when you are able to meet someone and talk to them calmly and explain to them, this is why it is. Sometimes it's easier when it's not the parent. But this is direct teaching. This is direct doctrine that how fathers are supposed to teach their young people, their little men, their little women, how they're supposed to teach them. I'm going to close with this here. If you will, let's go to Acts chapter number 4. I'm going to close with this. Most important thing I could share with you on the topic of teaching. Again, you think about the importance of these young minds, these young people being with us this week. You know, we can have everything set up, honestly, church. We can have everything set up. We can have the music set up. We can have the food set up in place. We can have the games in place. We can have the literature set up in place. We can have all those things, but there's one thing that has to be here. There's one thing, and that's the Spirit of God. Acts 4:13, it says here, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them. They were listening. They were amazed at what these men were doing. They saw them as fishermen and carpenters or what have you. But they saw the power that they were speaking with and how they were able to teach and relay things. But this is the key ingredient this morning. It says that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the mandatory ingredient. I want to challenge each of you. And I believe you have. Sister Karen and I were talking about that this morning, about being praying over the services, praying over each of the classes and having the prayer warriors for each of the classes. But I tell you, I want to challenge you this week, even as teachers, to be set aside time each day and just get along with the Lord and pray over this. I'm telling you, if we don't have the burden that we're supposed to have, it's not going to be the outcome that we want. You know, who here wouldn't save somebody if they could? You can't. I can't. What can you do? What can I do as a teacher? What can I do as a preacher? What can you do? You can study. You can pray. You can live it out. That's what is being taught here this morning. But it takes the Spirit of God that's going to change somebody's life. That's what it takes. That's the way it has to be. I appreciate the song Sister Jan had to sing this morning. I tell you, if we're not in the place we're supposed to be in, it's going to be very hard to help somebody get in the place they need to be in. I just pray. I've been praying for you this week. I hope this has been challenging to you. I don't want you to take it as any kind of reproof or anything like that. I want it to charge you up. I'm looking for an exciting week. Think about what the Lord can do, and it's all the power and glory is His and what He can do. But I just pray that we're ready to do what we're supposed to do for Him. And what I'm going to do at this time, I'm going to close out this way a little bit differently. I was praying over this, and what I would like for us to do is close in prayer this morning. But I'd like to have everyone that is a part of our Bible school this week to come forward and gather around the altar. Then I'm going to have the church come behind them. And I'd like to have everybody come and pray over our Bible school. That could be a part that we want everybody to take part. And that's what I'd like for us to do this morning and observe the importance of it.